I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. The roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
There are no announcements this evening. There is an addendum with respect to resignation from the Communities in Bloom Committee by Sherry Phibbs, and there will be a resolution dealt with as part of our consent agenda. And I believe all the councilors have a copy of that. Are there disclosures of pecuniary interest?
Yes.
Start with Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have a conflict for the Niro Drainage Works. It's report number 43-2016, related to one of the property owners affected.
Bylaw 43?
Yeah.
Councilor Passero?
Thank you, Mayor. Regarding the permittee applications, the bingo licenses, I have a few conflicts. The Adult Literacy Council, Big Brothers Big Sisters of South Niagara, the Fort Erie Lions, also the building of the Fort Erie Lions, and Legion Branch 71. I'm a director or member of each of those organizations.
Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Under presentation B, the Gorham Road Inc. and also item 2C of the consent agenda, it also deals with Gorham Road Incorporated. The company I work for, Real Electric, owns property right across the street from them. And this, I don't know for sure, but it may affect the property values. So just to be safe, I would like to declare a conflict. Thank you.
Okay, so just for clarity, that's 9.2.2C of the consent agenda item.
Consent agenda item 2C, yes.
Yeah, 9 point, yep, okay.
And 8B.
Right. And Councillor Passero, your conflict is with respect to resolution in is that under new business? Yes. Item 11A.
And Mayor, if I could, just for completeness sake, I will throw in the Friends of Bridgeburg Station downtown BIA as I represent a property owner within the district as I represent them on that board.
Any others? Madam Clerk, I have a pecuniary interest with respect to, again, item 11A, which is the bingo permit resolution. With respect to the Fort Erie Optimist Club, Friends of Fort Erie's Creeks, the Head Injury Association of Fort Erie, and the Ridgeway Lions Club, all of whom I've done legal work for. So when we get to I think I'm not going to vote on that at all. I think I will hand it to you. I'm not sure what your views on that are, Councilor Passero, whether you want to vote on that or just declare a pecuniary interest and let the balance of council deal with those.
No, I agree. It's really for just protocol purposes that we approve the licenses, so I will just refrain from voting and make it easier as far as the process goes.
Okay, great. Okay, if there are no other disclosures, then that takes us to public notice. This is a public notice of a meeting relative to the town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment at 4152 Erie Road, which will take place next Monday, April the 4th, 2016, here in the Town Hall Council Chambers at 6 p.m. The recommendation report with respect to that public meeting will be available on our website on Wednesday, March the 30th, which is tomorrow. That takes us to the Regional Councilor's Report. Good evening, Councilor Nunziata.
Good evening, Your Worship, members of Council, staff, and people in the gallery. It's been a busy couple of months at the Region. I want to start off by expressing my thanks to all the residents that have concerns with garbage collection, any of those regional issues. Be more than happy to address them, especially right now with a contract coming due. I want to make sure that the level of service is on par with the expectations of residents. So if you are having issues with your green bin collection or your recycling or your garbage collection, by all means, please give me a call. Ultimately, those comments will go into those decisions, whether or not we continue the existing contract agreement with the provider. We did review the 2017 budget. We had our first budget review committee of the whole. We convened this past March, so we had actually started the budget process for 2017. So I encourage members of this council and certainly staff, if you have any budgetary input with respect to 2017, by all means, provide that dialogue to me as I bring it forward to budget review committee. This past month, I presented two motions. One I thought was very appropriate given the recent news items coming out of Flint, Michigan, and it was the clean drinking water motion. Now, the region tests for over 200 items and contaminants, but the motion I put forward directed staff to come back with a reporting mechanism that narrows the focus and lists and illustrates those critical determinants of health like lead, E. coli, cryptosporidium, et cetera, that the public is concerned about, and do it in a more substantive way. Right now, provincial regulations mandate that there's only a reporting cycle one time per year. So much like our info dime, where you can go on the region's website to see what restaurants or have that clean record of providing service for the community, we're looking at putting an option on the regional website that you can actually check your water and check certain levels in that water to make sure that our water is appropriate. And I have no concerns. We have the highest testing standards, and our water is second to none in the Niagara. But we wanted to make sure that there's a public component. We wanted to make sure that we illustrate and provide that confidence to the public that our clean drinking water is very clean to drink. I also brought forward a motion to support an amendment to the Federal Criminal Code, which would allow for single sport event and gambling. My motion was ratified unanimously by Regional Council. Hopefully, if the federal government will take that initiative and pass it on to our provincial counterparts, and hopefully consider the Fort Erie Racetrack as a site to host one of those single sport gaming facilities. We did finish the preliminary business case report relating to the redevelopment of our three of our regional long-term care homes, Gilmore Lodge, Upper Canada Lodge, and Lynn Haven. So council did ratify the recommendations this past week. So the next steps are to establish a framework and principles for the redevelopment of Gilmore Lodge and how we move forward with a new long-term care facility for the region. A similar committee was struck that now puts those same recommendations forward in alternative service delivery with our regional housing. So I sit on that committee as well. It's a 7-member committee, and we'll be bringing forward recommendations to Regional Council how we go about the process of redeveloping some of our regional housing units as well. So I do have another motion before Council, and it calls for the support and the implementation of a bi-national pre-clearance initiative at the Peace Bridge. So working with our Fort Erie Public Bridge Authority and its bi-national board to see how that initiative could best serve the interests of Niagara from an economic perspective. So that one is before council, and we actually ran out of time this past cycle. So that will come back to council for debate, and hopefully Fort Erie can be the first host in Canada of commercial truck and automobile land crossings with a pre-clearance facility in Canada. So we're optimistic, especially with the news coming out of from our federal partners and our New York State partners as well. As well, I am sit on the MPCA board, vice chair of the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority, and we did notice that there is a watershed report card that comes every 4 years. The last one for the town of Fort Erie was done in 2012. I made a recommendation that the watershed report card by municipality is reported on an annual basis. So this basically illustrates the grade, and it will indicate improvements and deficiencies in any one category, whether it's water quality, and as well it will also list invasive species, so residents have a better opportunity to check on their property, be good stewards of the environment, and if there is an invasive species, they can call the MPCA, and certainly we can give you recommendations as far as how to eradicate that invasive species. Tomorrow, during committee, corporate services, and as well as planning development, we will have the first kick of the can with our water front investment strategy. As you know, it came out in phase one. It was the lakefront enhancement fund. Then it turned into the waterfront enhancement fund. So the direction of council, we've actually amalgamated those two projects and those two funding envelopes, and we're calling it the waterfront investment strategy. So we will be developing a term of reference. Why is that important to this council? Certainly with the Bay Beach development coming forward, we want to make sure that Fort Erie is ahead of the curve and certainly positioned very, very well to tap into those resources for funding. It's a huge investment and development opportunity for Fort Erie, and we'll make sure that the region fully understands the economic impact that it'll have for the town of Fort Erie. I also put forward one motion, actually, that council is aware of in your package today, and that's we talked about that earlier, to support the federal initiative to amend the criminal code, which we already spoke about. What else do we have here? Because there's quite a bit that I wanted to elaborate on. This past week, actually, this was a great event that I attended. And I attended the Blueprint Entrepreneur, almost like a dragon's den at Brock University. And why this isn't so important, because it really illustrated that Niagara innovation is alive and well, especially with our young entrepreneurs now. Blueprint is a joint competition between the Goodman School of Business and BioLink, which is Brock University's bioscience business incubator. And very, very fortunate. And big congrats go out to Dan Bordy. Now, Dan currently works at Bridges Community Health Center here in Fort Erie, and he was actually the winner of this Dragon's Den entrepreneur contest with his company called Bicep. And he invented this very, very innovative apparatus that helps transition from wheelchair to walker in a very, very safe manner for our seniors. So just an incredible young mind, and if our intent is to hold on to our best and brightest, and certainly Dan is one of those people, and congratulations to all those people that, that took part in that competition. I want to touch base on the Uber discussions. I know Councillor McDermott was very involved in discussions with taxi licensing. So speaking with Chairman Gale, Police Services Board, who's responsible for licensing of the taxi industry, still has some unanswered questions regarding ride sharing, which include insurance and other items. So until they're at a, they have a certain comfort level that safety issues are answered, they don't really have any consideration for ride sharing as an option right now. So ultimately, we're still looking for direction from the province with some of the sharing economy initiatives like Uber and Airbnb and some of these other apps. So until we get a comfort level and we manage to level that playing field with our taxi industry and the ride-sharing programs from the province, and we seek that direction, we'll pass that information on to area municipalities. Big shout out to the Canadian Motor Speedway, and certainly the partnership that they formulated with Brock University, one of the many partnerships that are ongoing, partnering with our area educational institutions, whether it's Niagara College, whether it's Brock University. Special shout out to Tom Cookett. You have a very, very valuable senior executive here at the town of Fort Erie who's been very, very instrumental in driving that that project forward and working hand in hand with the region and certainly the investors. I know he put out a very, very in-depth update as far as where the CMS is right now, where they have to go, some of the challenges that they face. But ultimately, it was very, very informative, and special thanks to Tom Cookett and certainly his involvement and leadership on this project. Recent announcement in the recent budget, first time ever, Niagara was mentioned with respect to GO Transit. Ultimately, we'll be looking for Metrolinx to make that commitment in their next rollout of infrastructure improvements. But it is a huge, huge announcement for Niagara as a whole. The region is going through their transit hub study right now, and we've actually identified properties, and we're actually looking at design elements for, I believe it's four, GO Transit hubs. Grimsby, Beamsville, St. Catharines, and Niagara Falls. So it's going to be very, very important that, you know, we gather input with respect to transportation needs, and we place that in the business case going forward. So very, very exciting news, especially with the federal money and the provincial money and their announcements with funding infrastructure and super build projects. We want to make sure that some of those funds certainly trickle down to Niagara, and that these are just important, important initiatives to really get our economy going and with respect to job creation as well. So I'll leave it up to, well, Central Avenue Bridge, I'll touch on that real quickly. Construction is going at a very quick pace. They're on schedule. If there is any delays, my Public Works tells me that there may be a 3 to 4 week delay with respect to the pedestrian crossing. They might have some challenges there, but overall it remains on budget, which is good news considering the scathing report of the Burgoyne Bridge audit committee that we received. So Central Avenue Bridge is on budget and on time, and we look forward to the opening of that Central Avenue corridor. So again, I'll leave it up to questions from council, and if you have any questions, anything I said or any new initiatives that you want to bring forward, I'll be more than happy to try to help answer the questions.
Councillor Nunzio, did you have any update with respect to work on Dominion Road?
Work on Dominion Road, it is in the capital budget forecast. So it is in the capital budget forecast for 2016 and 2017 and 2018, Dominion Road, Buffalo to Burley, and then Dominion Road, Helena to Lakeshore. So those improvements will be going forward, obviously working hand in hand with the town of Fort Erie, who has some infrastructure that run underneath that road. So obviously it's a coordinated effort to making sure that the improvements are done in a very comprehensive and very collaborative way with the town of Fort Erie. There's going to be a design build, which should save the taxpayers a considerable amount of money. So ultimately, it is for the reconstruction of those two roads. And I know Councillor Lubitz has been a strong opponent of reconstruction rather than resurfacing. And for the longest time, that particular road was resurfaced. But unfortunately, when that bed and the base of it is crumbling, it doesn't matter how many times you resurface it, you're always going to have problems. So this is a reconstruction. And to Councillor Lubert's work on that issue, I'm glad to say that we're coming forward with funds to finally repair that road up to a decent standard.
That's going to start sometime this year.
Correct. Well, the design elements are in the works already.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Worship. Through you to Councillor Annunziata. You stated that the region's beginning the development and identifying properties for GO Transit and everything. It's wonderful to see that we're now, you know, we are being considered for part of the budget, and it does appear that they're going to make some progress towards including us. What measures are you taking to ensure that the southern municipalities like Fort Erie, Port Colborne, Waynefleet don't get left out of the GO Transit? Obviously, we're not going to be a hub or a stop, but are they also reviewing feed-in lines and possibilities for additional funding that will help beef up our transit to get people to the GO station?
Yeah, it's a great question, and certainly, you know, we are in conversations with the three transit providers, one being St. Catharines, City of Niagara Falls, and the City of Welland. And for the first time ever, I think we have all three of those partners at the table trying to put together a very robust transit plan that that will service the greater Niagara area. When you talk about some of the southern municipalities, I don't think anyone is going to be left behind. Certainly, we should be very proud of the transit system that we've created here in the town of Fort Erie and how we develop that connectivity to those larger municipality hubs. I think that's going to be, you know, part of the process going forward. But when you talk about the investments that we're making as a region, $10 million in the budget this year, $30 million for next year, and that's specific for land acquisition and redevelopment of those transit hubs, and that's our commitment to make sure that GO Transit comes down to Niagara. To your point, we'll make sure that Fort Erie is certainly part of that conversation. Ultimately, we want to know that our labor market is able to get to other parts of Niagara for jobs and employment opportunities.
Any further, Councillor Knutt? Anyone else? Thank you very much, Councillor Annunziata. You did mention the resolution that you have before the regional council that unfortunately couldn't be voted on because of the curfew. And that's a resolution that I presume will be coming to the town of Fort Erie for support. I'm wondering whether it might have a greater impact if it was a resolution that one of the councillors here, with your permission, might put forward at some future council meeting, perhaps after it's been approved at the region.
Absolutely. And I'd be more than happy to pass that resolution on. I'm pretty sure we will reach almost unanimous support. As you were there, there were some issues. And again, you know, that parochialism sometimes rears its ugly head, and we should be very proud of our partners, which is the Peace Bridge. It's the gateway into Canada. And with respect to, you know, leaving out some of the other border crossings in Niagara, specifically the three Niagara bridges, well, the pilot project was created at the town, at the Peace Bridge, so it only makes sense that it continue there. The geography for pre-clearance only works at the Peace Bridge. It doesn't work at the Niagara Falls bridges. And certainly the pre-clearance site.
Don't have to persuade me.
There you go.
Right.
So,
I think it would be helpful.
It's the only place that a pre-clearance initiative could go is at the Peace Bridge. So I will be more than happy to pass that resolution on to council, and hopefully with their support, we'll pass it on to our federal partners. And Fort Erie will be home to the first pre-clearance initiative in all of Canada.
The one suggestion that I had made, and I think you've hit on it, is that some of the regional councillors aren't familiar with some of the background that you've just provided here, and I think that will be of help to them. Fort Erie, the Peace Bridge has been in the picture now for 15 years, I'm sure, with respect to this type of initiative. So if you could provide that at the region, that would be very helpful.
I will.
Thank you very much. That takes us then to presentations and delegations, and the first delegation is a presentation by Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. It's nice to be standing at this podium once again. Normally, when I was here, I was asking council for something, but this time I'm here to present and to recognize some volunteers. Being at this podium before, I was just a resident of the town of Fort Erie. Now I'm a public official for the town of Fort Erie. But one thing I need everybody to understand is being a public official does not make me a public speaker. And I am not a public speaker. So if I do fumble a little bit, I hope maybe Signe behind me can help me out and everybody can bear with me. But anyway, tonight, what I want to do is I want to fulfill part of the Town of Fort Erie strategic plan, which is to recognize the volunteers of the Town of Fort Erie. So over the past year, what has happened was we entered the National Communities in Bloom Photo Contest. Now each year, the National Communities in Bloom Foundation holds a photo contest and invites municipalities from across Canada to submit photos that best represent the purpose of the Communities in Bloom program. The purpose of the Communities in Bloom program is to foster civic pride, environmental responsibility, and beautification throughout the community and community involvement with a focus on enhancing green spaces in the community. In 2015, the Fort Erie Communities in Bloom Committee entered the National Photo Contest by submitting a photo taken by the Crystal Beach Beautification Committee of a floral bike display along Erie Road in Crystal Beach. The committee was informed in December of 2015 that Fort Erie was one of the three winners of the National Photo Contest. The names of these winners, along with the winning photo, will be published, and I believe they would be published in all of the national 2016 Communities in Bloom magazines. Yes, that's true. So it will be our photo, and Fort Erie is going to be displayed throughout Canada in this magazine. Also, the winning photo will be featured on the Communities in Bloom website, and it'll be used throughout the year by Communities in Bloom in their promotional material. Winners of the communities or the National Photo Contest received a $50 gift certificate from the national sponsor, Home Hardware. And I believe Communities in Bloom is going to use that $50 gift certificate for door prizes at this year's events. Two committees that was involved in this photo contest, Crystal Beach Beautification Committee and the Fort Erie Communities in Bloom Committee. The Crystal Beach Beautification Committee, the purpose of the committee was to undertake beautification efforts in Crystal Beach in cooperation with the Crystal Beach BIA. The Beautification Committee members volunteer endless hours of beautifying Crystal Beach through projects such as planter and hanging basket displays, in ground floral displays, and the popular floral bicycle program, the Scarecrow Festival, and Footsteps for Flowers. Crystal Beach is regularly recognized by Communities in Bloom for both its phenomenal floral displays and for its community spirits. Fort Erie Communities in Bloom Committee mandate is to promote the principles of the National Communities in Bloom program as a means of encouraging community volunteerism, pride, and active participation in the ongoing development of a healthy and beautiful Fort Erie. Specific projects include the annual Spring Sprout Kickoff event, where National Garden celebrity Frankie Flower shares his vast knowledge of everything gardening. Now, if anybody doesn't know who Frankie Flower is or what Frankie Flowers looks like, Councillor Passero could be his brother. So, the projects also include the annual Communities in Bloom competition, the awards gala, and leading the town's participation in an international level of Communities in Bloom against municipalities from Italy, Ireland, and California. But this time, I'd like to read off the names of the Beautification Committee for Crystal Beach, which is the chairperson, Winnie Swam, Orma Bleeks, Mikhail Blondeau, David Sheridan, Vivian Sheridan, Carl Uloff, and Lois Wilson. The members of the Communities in Bloom program, our chairperson, Gabrielle Todd, our vice chair, Carol Audette Bocock, and members Linda Anderson, Patricia Bossert, Blake Bocock, Margaret Fever, Sharon Gill, Brian Peltier, Winnie Swam, Karen Audette, Sherry Phibbs, and myself as the councilor representative. This time, I'd like to ask the chair, Winnie, come forward. Bring your committee with you. Mayor Redicott, maybe you could come down here and help us out a little bit. Thank you, everybody. As an expression of appreciation and in recognition of the ongoing efforts of both Communities in Bloom from Crystal Beach and the Beautification Committee, on behalf of the mayor and council, on behalf of the staff, union and non-union, and on behalf of the residents of Fort Erie, I'd like you to present to you a token of appreciation for all your volunteering efforts to beautify Fort Erie. Thank you very much. Winnie and Gabriel, I don't know if you want to say anything or make any comments or anything. Want me in there?
Thank you very much, Councilor Lubberts. I don't know whether, was there anything further that you wish to say?
Oh, no, thanks.
If not, well, thank you very much, and it's certainly fitting that you would recognize those individuals who have brought such fame to the town of Fort Erie through Communities in Bloom, not just this past year, but for, I guess, almost a decade now, or maybe it's more than a decade. So, again, on behalf of Council, thank you for all of you and the efforts that you've put into making Communities in Bloom a great, great success in Fort Erie. And thank you, Councilor Lubberts, for your foresight with respect to the photograph of the bicycle. That was very generous on your part. Thank you. Okay. That takes us then to the next delegation, and that is David Compson. Good evening.
Mayor Redekop, members of council, staff, members of the gallery, unlike Councilor Lubberts, I am here to ask for something, but like Councilor Lubberts, I'm also not a gifted public speaker, so I'll keep my remarks brief, but preface my remarks on the matter before us by acknowledging the coincidence of me following on the heels of Communities in Bloom. I can tell you that it's been more than a decade because I'm proud, sincerely proud of being a first place award recipient in 2003. So I am very grateful to their efforts, very much so. I provided council with a letter that is brief and outlines the issue ahead of us for decision. I became aware of a public information session back in October or November relative to a housekeeping amendment regarding some local environmental conservation screenings. And frankly, I attended the public information session under the pretense of another piece of property that I own, which is on Industrial Drive. And when I arrived and saw the mappings, lo and behold, the properties on Gorham Road had a local environmental conservation screening on it, which was of total surprise to me because I had felt that several years past in dealing with the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority on those particular lands and establishing a development limit line and the removal of what's been termed for me to be a higher threshold environmental screening. I thought that just eliminated, you know, all of the underlying screenings. So I attempted to get these lands included in the housekeeping amendment back in October and November, but I simply think there wasn't time for it. So I had a few meetings and drafted the letter to council. I'm here to request that the local environmental conservation screening be removed. Survey that is in front of you reflects the development limit line that the NPCA and Gorham Road Inc. Established many years ago.
Thank you, Mr. Compson. Are there any questions of Mr. Compson with respect to this? I've got a couple. With respect to this map that's attached to the letter that is located at item 9.2.2B of our B of our package. So the line that you're talking about is in the, that would be the southwest corner, approximately?
Yes.
And what's the significance of that line relative to your request?
That line is precisely what we refer to somewhat informally. It arose from discussions with the NPCA many years ago. It was termed a development limit line that the NPCA and Gorham Road Inc. had established, that all things from that development limit line that's been outlined for you to Gorham Road have full development potential.
And then if I might, there's in the minutes of the Environmental Advisory Committee that we received from December the 12th, 2015, there's an indication that you've been working with the Conservation Authority to reinstate provincially significant wetlands on the offsite. What does that mean?
That means that as part of the settlement agreement with, which has been memorialized in writing between Gorham Road Inc. and the NPCA, that in exchange for the establishment of the development limit line that's reflected on that survey, I would need to create a new provincially significant wetland on some hazard lands that were owned by a third party that we purchased. These are lands that are in the northwest off of that survey, from the northwest boundary corner, that we will have to create an actual PSW. So that was part and parcel of the agreement between ourselves and the NPCA.
And you may not know the answer to this, despite the fact that you're property owner. The minutes say that the Environmental Advisory Committee is reluctant to remove they don't want to remove the EC overlay until such time as a more detailed site plan submission is received. Are you familiar with that?
Or not.
Okay. So that was something that should have been communicated to you if it wasn't.
Well, the town has had a preliminary concept plan, or frankly, a site plan that's superimposed onto the survey of the lands for many years, and there hasn't been any variation of that development schematic for 6 or 7 years now.
I've not seen that, but you referred to it as preliminary, and the minutes make reference to detailed site plans, so there may be a difference in level of specificity that the EAC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have no other questions. Anyone else? Thank you very much, Mr. Thompson.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The next delegate is Emma Chack with respect to the water base rate. I hope I pronounced that properly. CSAK. Is Mrs. Chack here? We'll hold that down and we'll go to Mr. Jesse Bowles. And if Mrs. Chack shows up afterwards, we'll... Otherwise, good evening, Mr. Bowles.
Good evening. 14 minutes should be enough for everyone. Good evening, Mayor Redekop, members of council, staff. Thank you for having us here this evening. My name is Jesse Bowles, and I'm here representing the Ridgeway BIA. I am their promotions and event coordinator. And unfortunately, with the recent retrofit of the LED lighting in downtown Ridgeway, we do have some concerns. In front of you now, basically the top cover of that is my report this evening and then some appendices that are referenced throughout. In regards to the to the LED retrofit, we have some concerns, displeasure, and even heartbreak regarding how the LED retrofit has been handled in downtown Ridgeway. It was horrifying to see last week our beautiful heritage-style light fixtures torn down and new LED fixtures that have a very industrial marine utility look to them going up in their place. When this LED program was announced in January, I emailed the person at Town Hall listed as the project contact, voicing our concerns as to how the retrofit would be handled in respect to our decorative lanterns. That email is attached. It was sent out on January the 19th. This email, unfortunately, was never returned. On there, I had CC'd our ward counselor as well as our chairman of the BIA board, Mr. Gary O'Brien. In addition to that, in an attempt to make contact and find out what was going on with regards to our downtown, I did place 3 phone calls to the same gentleman, and unfortunately, those calls were not returned as well. Last week, the contractors for the retrofit made their way downtown to complete our retrofit, except our lights were not retrofitted, they were replaced. The lights that have been put up in their place are half the scale, style, and decorative impact as what we previously had. Our lighting is an integral part of our downtown heritage look, and our lighting is also new as of 5 years ago when the revamp and redesign of downtown was completed, a project that received heavy consultation and input from the BIA and the community into the design, look, and feel. It is our contention that the Ridgeway Business Improvement Area and surrounding community should have had the opportunity to consult and comment on this project before it was done. According to the workers doing the job, our decorative fixtures are slated for disposal. I have referred to the Town of Fort Erie's street lighting policy, bylaw number 141-04, and that's my appendix D here, in researching the ability to retrofit our existing lights. I have found many examples and abilities to do so. For instance, a drive down Jarvis Street shows that all of their decorative glass globes, similar to ours, have been retrofitted with LED while maintaining the existing heritage look and feel. Appendix C shows the retrofit process of the Jarvis Street decorative fixtures, and that document that I have included there is the exact model that we do have on Jarvis Street as of right now and how the retrofit process works. Referring again to that bylaw, I've come up with the specifications of our original downtown Ridgeway light fixtures, and that's Appendix D. To determine the specs of these lights, our original lights are 100-watt high-pressure sodium lights, and Appendix C shows a retrofit bulb available for these fixtures. These bulbs are at a cost of $67 each and carry a 3-year warranty. To us, this is superior as an option, considering that our newly installed fixtures are only 5 years old, and one of the newly replaced fixtures is already burnt out at the intersection of the municipal lot in Ridgeway. The replacement and disposal of our fixtures is simply not financially responsible as a municipality. The tax dollars of this downtown core have been spent 5 years ago to purchase beautifully historically accurate fixtures and now thrown away and spent again for utility-style fixtures. In conversation with several stakeholders in downtown, this sentiment is shared by all. Over the past week, I've received over 20 emails, a dozen phone calls, several face-to-face conversations around town, as well as social media probes, having solicited over 30 separate comments, all of which voicing displeasure, heartbreak, and concern over what had been done with our fixtures, and really those being kind of the jewelry on our award-winning downtown streetscape. In an effort to right this wrong, a roundtable discussion is on the books for this Thursday with Kelly Walsh, Director of Infrastructure Services for the town, hopefully to come up with a solution for this matter. He has confirmed with me that our current fixtures have been set aside and will not be disposed of or destroyed until we've had a chance to discuss this and to bring our concerns tonight to council. As event coordinator to the RBIA, the heritage look and feel of our downtown is integral in selling Ridgeway to the public and promoting our events. Our concern as a BIA extends to the wasting of the funds on these lighting solutions when more information should have been obtained from the contractors on our options instead of simply rubber stamping this solution and accepting a replacement. Communication is, of course, a key component as well, and in sitting earlier this month in the Fort Erie Chamber of Commerce State of Fort Erie Breakfast, I was excited and encouraged to hear that the top priority here at the town is focusing on communication and customer service. Unfortunately, this is one of those examples where there's still some work to be done. The Ridgeway BIA and surrounding community were heavily involved and included in the public meeting and steering committees that perfected the Thunder Bay Ridgeway master plan a few years ago that shaped the design of downtown Ridgeway. And unfortunately, this is a regrettable oversight that we were left in the dark on this key component and issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bowles. And let me tell you that you're quite correct. I guess it was 2 weeks ago I was speaking about our strategic plan and how important one of our pillars is, which is better communications, both internally and externally. And it does pain me that we're in this predicament. Must say that since I'm the mayor and I get to take credit for all the good things that happened, like the beautification program, I'm also the person at which the dollar stops. So this is a team, the council and the administration, and this is a team, Ms. Q, and certainly if we could go back and consult with the BIAs, and you weren't the only one that wasn't consulted with. Now we have to move forward and try to find a resolution. So I appreciate the information that you've provided. I appreciate the tone of your comments. You're quite correct. There is a meeting on Thursday with respect to this issue, and say that is unfortunate, and we will move forward. We very much appreciate the work that the Business Improvement Association Boards of Management do in our town. This should not be construed, no matter how it might look, as lack of appreciation, because we certainly do appreciate the work that you do. It's fundamental to helping our community grow, and to make sure that my words from 2 weeks ago aren't hollow, we will find a solution to this. I must say that I've learned recently that the solution may be a bit more challenging than I had anticipated. And before I go to other counselors who may have some questions, Mr. Walsh, did you want to make any comment about the fixtures that have been removed? Status of those fixtures.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unfortunately, when Mr. Bowles and I spoke Thursday, I think it was around 1 p.m., I made my commitment to try and save them. Unfortunately, that has failed. By the time you and I spoke, they had already been destroyed. So restoring the existing fixtures is not an option at this point.
So the last part, I think, it won't be exactly the same fixtures, but that doesn't preclude our efforts to find a solution, which we will. And I can't turn back the clock, but we will rectify the situation. So we will be entering the meeting on Thursday, open mind and a desire to rectify the situation that's occurred. Are there any other counselors that wish to questions with Mr. Bowles? Councillor Lubbers.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Mr. Bowles, thank you very much for coming forward. I too agree with you, and I want to let you know that myself, I'm going to stand behind the BIA. Now, I don't know if anybody has taken the time to read our Municipal Act, but part of the Municipal Act describes the role of council, and the role of council is to represent the residents of their community. And for myself, this is part of that obligation that I make as a councilor. So I will be representing the BIA and hoping that we can resolve this and get, now that I hear that the fixtures have been destroyed, and I find it, well, we'll make those comments later, but I will work and do my best to make sure that Ridgeway gets the fixture as close as possible to the fixture they lost. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other counselors?
Thank you very much, Mr. Bowles, and I look forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Thank you very much.
That takes us to the consent agenda, and item 9.2.2C will be dealt with separately. Are there any other items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda item, agenda? There being none, then, Councillor Nutt, would you present the resolution regarding the consent agenda items?
Certainly. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko. The Council approves the consent agenda items as amended. Sorry, as recommended, save with the exception of 9.22C.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments with respect to the items remaining in the consent agenda? There be Councillor Lubberts?
Yeah, just for clarification, the one that I have the conflict is, that's the one that's being removed, so I'm voting on this. Yes, okay, thank you.
Yep. If there aren't any other questions, then all those in favor of the consent agenda item, consent agenda resolution as amended, that is carried. Councillor Nutt, would you move item 9.2.2C, please?
Certainly. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko. The council approves consent agenda item 9.22C as recommended.
Any questions or comments with respect to that? All those in favor? Opposed, that is carried. That then takes us to responses to inquiries. Clerk, do we have any? We don't have any. And so we have new business inquiries. The first item, which relates to the Community Gaming Development Corporation, is a matter that I have I've declared a conflict on. So I wonder if I could chair to it to you just to, Councillor Zanko has the resolution with respect.
So, Councillor Zanko, would you like to read the resolution, please?
Yes, thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that Council approves the bingo lottery permit allocations for the period April 1st, 2016 to March 31st, 2017, pursuant to Appendix A of the memorandum dated March 7th, 2016 from the Community Gaming Development Corporation.
Thank you, Councillor Zanko. Would anybody like to speak to that? I'd like to call the question then. All those in favor? That motion is carried.
I have the chair back. Thank you very much, Councillor Butler. That then takes us to a resolution by Councillor Passero with respect to National Volunteer Week.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council proclaims April 10th through 16th of 2016 as National Volunteer Week. Volunteers are the roots of strong communities. And further, that Council expresses their appreciation and gratitude to all volunteers in the Town of Fort Erie for their service, dedication, and commitment.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor of the resolution? None opposed, that is carried. Now we've got a couple of resolutions relative to filling vacancies on two committees. The first one relates to the Environmental Advisory Committee. And Councillor Lubberts, I understand you have the resolution, and what we're going to do before we get to that resolution is vote on which of the two names submitted should fill that slot. So once you've cast your ballot, then the clerk is going to pick this up and then we'll advise you, Councillor Lubberts, of the name to insert. Councilor Lubert.
And you're waiting for me, Mayor Redekop.
And the winner is?
Yes. Moved by myself and seconded by Councilor McDermott that Council appoints Bree Smalden to the Environmental Advisory Committee for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? Carried. And I presume, Madam Clerk, we're going to do the same thing with respect to the vacancy on the Museum and Cultural Heritage Advisory Committee. Applicants.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that Council appoints Keith Ratcliffe to the Museum and Cultural Heritage Advisory Committee for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. Now the next item is new territories. So I think the way I'd like to handle this would be to request nominations for each of the chairs separately. So we'll start with at them listed here, which is Corporate and Community Services, and then Planning, and then Infrastructure Services. And if we have more than one nomination, well, then we'll have to have a vote. That by ballot, Madam Chair?
Yes, Your Worship, I have ballots prepared.
Okay. So we'll start with Chair of Corporate and Community Services. Are there any nominations?
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to nominate Councillor Passero.
Madam Chair, this is a council meeting. Do we need a seconder for that?
It's simply a nomination, so I don't believe so.
I think you're right. I agree with you. Okay, so we have Councillor Passero. Any other nominations for Chair of Corporate and Community Services? How about a motion to close nominations then on this? Questions or comments? All those in favor of closing nominations for Chair? That would be Councillor Passero. Nominations for Planning, Chair of Planning and Development Services. Councillor Passero.
Mayor Redekop, I'd like to nominate Councillor McDermott.
Any other nominations with respect to that position? Seeing none, is there a motion to close the nominations for Chair of Planning and Development Services? Zero. All those in favor? That is carried. Then go to a Chair of Infrastructure Services. Zero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. I'd like to nominate Councillor Zanko.
Any other nominations with respect to this? Close the nomination. Councillor Nutt. All those in favor? That is carried. Go then to Corporate and Community Services Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mayor DeCup. I'd like to nominate Councillor Nutt.
Other nominations? There are none. Motion to close the nominations. Councillor Danko. All those in favor? Opposed? That's carried. Takes us then to Vice Chair of Planning and Development Services.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Butler.
Any other nominations with respect to that position? To close the nominations? Councillor McDermott? Any questions or comments on that? All those in favor? That is carried. It's really a formality, but we need a nomination for the Vice Chair of Infrastructure Services, Councilor McDermott.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Lobertz.
I guess there aren't any other nominations. What am I talking about? Motion to close nominations. Councilor McDermott. All those in favor? Carried. So, Councilor Butler, you have the resolution with respect to the appointment of new chairs and vice chairs for the period April 1st to July 31st. Could you please proceed with that?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councilor McDermott, that Council appoints the following chairs and vice chairs to the business subdivisions of Council and Committee for the period of the April 1st, 2016 to July 31st, 2017. Corporate and Community Services Chair, Councilor Passero, Vice Chair, Councilor Nutt, Planning and Development Services Chair, Councilor McDermott, Vice Chair, Councilor Butler, Infrastructure Services Chair, Councilor Zanko, Vice Chair, Councilor Lubertz.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor of the resolution? Unopposed, that is carried. Thank you. There are no motions this evening. Are there any notices of motion? Councilor Lubertz.
Yes,
did I miss something?
Go back. New business.
Sorry, we haven't finished new business. Sorry. That's what you were going to raise?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Councilor Passero. We'll go to Councilor Lubertz, and then if you had new business, we'll go to you. Councilor Lubertz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just to go back to our delegate earlier this evening with the street lighting, I'd like to get some clarification on how this all came about and how it came that there was no communications, and then when was the contractor that was putting the lights in informed not to destroy the lights?
Mr. Walsh, best effort at information.
Sure. Through you, Mr. Mayor, the contract was let, it was last August or so. It was through a request for proposal process in which the contractor submitted certain manufacturers that they deal with as part of their proposal. Everything was evaluated based on a number of factors, which included how close the contractor came to matching what was existing in the BIA and decorative streetlight areas. In this case, Ridgeway, there was not an exact match or one that was close enough, apparently. And I believe it was last September or so I contacted Councillor Butler, asking, sent her a couple of pictures through emails. Here's what's existing. Here's what's proposed by the contractor. This is as close as we can get. Should we have a meeting with the BIA? And not to hang Councillor Butler out here, but that's not my intent at all. But a decision was made jointly between the two of us that it wasn't necessary. And we move forward at that time. With respect to the actual replacement, I was contacted by Mr. Bowles Thursday afternoon and immediately phoned our project manager, who phoned the contractor who said they've already been in the dumpster and the dumpster's been emptied at their recycling facility, wherever that is. So the fixtures were not recoverable by that time.
Councilor Lubertz.
Yes, thank you very much. I got a problem here with the contract itself. Was it in our contract requesting that the lights be removed and replaced? Is that what the contractor was bidding on?
Mr. Walsh?
That's correct. Remove and replace.
So our town took a light fixture that was only 4 years old, maybe, at that time, and said, we'll just throw these away.
Mr. Walsh?
That's correct. The part of the bid process of the contractor was salvaging what they could from the lights.
Yes, but whose decision was it to take a perfectly good fixture that was probably have a lifespan of maybe 20 or 25 years and decide after 4 years just to discard it and throw it in the garbage? Whose decision was that?
Mr. Walsh?
It was staff's recommendation to council, and that recommendation was approved.
The recommendation was approved through the contract, but we didn't see the actual contract. We just saw who the bidder was.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Without looking at the past report, Mr. Mayor, I believe I can't say whether it's specifically said in the report that everything was to be removed and replaced or not.
Councilor Lieberts?
Yes, thank you very much. I mean, I can only go by when this whole retrofit and changing of our street lighting went before council with the last council. And having spoken to Paul Collard, who at the time was the councilor that brought it forward, he indicated to me that any special fixtures or any heritage fixtures or those matters would be reviewed and they would be discussed and we would keep those fixtures. And I just don't understand why anybody would say, take a fixture that was part of Ridgeway that was only 4 years old, and they're probably, I mean, I'm in this business, I would say that fixture would be anywhere between $400 and $600. Now to install it and everything, you're looking at $1,000. And just to throw it away after 4 years. I mean, I'm having a really hard time trying to figure out how that decision was made. And then, to top it all off, the decision nothing was discussed with the BIA. And, I mean, I think we made a mistake here by taking those streetlights down and then replacing them with something that nobody had any say in the matter. And, I mean, we have a major problem here. I think what we need to do is we need to make this right. And I'm going to let some of the other councilors ask some questions, but if there is no other questions, I think, I know you're going to meet on Thursday, but I think when you meet on Thursday, the discussion on Thursday should be, where are we going to get these lights that are going to better represent and be closer to what we had before they were removed.
Well, I'm sure that will be part of the discussion on Thursday, Councilor Lieberts. It's no question that there's an error. There's no question.
Well, I mean, why wasn't, maybe Mr. Walsh can answer this, why wasn't the fixtures that were up there, why were they not retrofitted?
Mr. Walsh, would you know that?
From what I know, the lighting, the actual, they weren't suitable for a retrofit with an LED fixture due to heat and lighting issues.
Councilor Lieberts?
No, I'd like to know, where would you get information like that? This is my business, and retrofitting street lights and retrofitting lighting. I don't know any manufacturer that would tell you that you can't retrofit your unit. You're putting a high pressure sodium or mercury vapor or any type of those lights. Those lights are hot. I deal with those lights on a regular basis. You can't take one of those bulbs out with your bare hands. You'll burn yourself. So somebody telling you that because of heat, the fixtures that were up there had a lot of heat. And that's the whole idea with LED.
the LED doesn't use as much power, so subsequently the LED is not as hot. So, I mean, I would like to know where you got that information. Was it the contractor that told you that, or was it the manufacturer?
Or someone else, Mr. Walsh?
It was the supplier in this case.
And could you give us who that supplier was of those lights?
Supplier is TIMAT. I think it's TIMAT Enterprises.
MAT?
Correct. TYMAT.
I'll leave it for other counselors to ask questions, but for now, I'd like to come back later.
I think I was going to Counselor Lubert's, and then I was going to Counselor Nutt, and then Counselor Butler. Do we want to keep it on the lights? Are you going to the lights? Yep. Proceed.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop.
No, I've got Passero next.
Oh, okay.
Two things. I was a member of the last council, and this will come as a shock to nobody, but I don't share Councillor Caller's recollection of the events or conversation. And just to bring some balance to the discussion here, I've received an equal number of people who are for and both against the lights in Ridgeway, the lights on their own streets, and the lights in Bridgeburg, and I'm sure Councillor McDermott has probably fielded the same phone calls. So I agree that there is a contingent that are very disappointed in this matter, but I just wanted to bring that balance to say I've received compliments as well across town for all the different types of light fixtures. I look forward to the result of the conversation on Thursday, and I will support this council in any way I can to find a resolution going forward. Thank you, Mayor.
To this point?
Yes.
Councillor Nutt?
Just to the lighting. I know that you have a meeting planned, but since this is under new business, I think mm-hmm. that I'm in agreement with Councillor Lubert's. Obviously, it's an error. We can't go back in time, as you said, Your Worship, and fix it at this point. We know that the lights on Jarvis can be retrofitted. Is that style available? The only appropriate matter, I think, and I think that this entire council would agree, is we have to look at replacing the cold factory style that have been replaced there with something that represents the heritage. And I'd like to ask for a report to move forward with costing that out and seeing what it's going to take to that undertaking.
I think I know that Mr. Walsh has already contemplated a number of possible solutions. I think it would be appropriate to have the meeting and get a report from that meeting, which we can.
Can we have that report
Thursday.
For April 11th? Would that be too short a time period,
meeting? No, I would think that we're going to get a memorandum sometime. The next committee meeting is the 4th. We're going to get we're not going to get a report by then, but we should be able to get a memorandum, even if we have that information as to what transpired at the meeting on
March 31st.
So, Mr. Wald should be able to provide us with at least a memorandum for the Monday night meeting on April the 4th, and then we can see where we are, and we can move forward. But, this needs to be dealt with. But there are a number of possible solutions that Mr. Walsh is aware of. You know, if we could just go back in time, we would have consulted. That's part of what we've committed to do with the community, and we're doing it on many other things. But, you know, if this were a baseball game, and I was a shortstop, E5, I just made an error. So now we have to figure out how we deal with this moving forward. And Mr. Walsh is working diligently to come up with some scenarios that I think will try to address this. But I don't know what's going to happen on Thursday. We'll know after the meeting on Thursday, and we'll see what transpires. Councillor Butler, did you want to speak to this?
I do, Your Honor. Thank you.
I'm just Your Worship.
Yes, Your Worship. Just to Councillor Lubert's point and what the director Walsh has said. I fully take responsibility and my part in this too, because when I was approached, not sure whether it was in email, I am pretty sure we met in person, and I was shown the photograph of two different types of light fixtures that could possibly replace the existing one. The one that is has been installed was the better of the two. And I fully take responsibility for the fact that the Ridgeway BIA was not consulted at the time. I was aware that the other BIA was not going to be consulted either, and I thought, well, if that's the case, then we might as well move forward with the decision-making process. That's a mistake that I made, and recognize that shouldn't have happened, so I do apologize for that. But having said that, I have started to canvass the Ridgeway downtown core, and I have met with several of the shop owners. 6 and 6 that I visited on Monday have said that they like the new light fixtures and they have no problem with the old ones being abandoned and the new ones being in place. So I did receive an email as well stating that perhaps the Ridgeway BIA spoke up without consulting some of the merchants and should have done that prior to saying that they were representative of everybody. That's neither here nor there. I recognize, and I've spoken with Jesse and Gary, who is the president of the Ridgeway BIA, over the weekend and said that I do recognize that there is a difference in style, and certainly the pre-existing styles were very beautiful. They had the brass accents and they were very large and voluptuous, but and if I had my preference, that would be my preference as well. However, driving down the street on Saturday, not recognizing the pre-existing bulbs, I have to say that I didn't see an issue. I didn't see how horrific the new lights are, to be honest with you. They're quite attractive in my opinion. I do recognize that the sentiment isn't 100% my way, and that the sentiments are 50-50. It's a situation that, as the mayor eloquently put, has happened, and we have to push forward and see what kind of solutions we can come forward with. So believe me, I have sent emails to members of staff recognizing the error that I had made and not including the BIA for discussions, but also wanted to make sure that everybody recognizes the fact that there are many people out into the Ridgeway business section that are not opposed to the new streetlights. Thank you.
So before we move on from new business, Councillor Lubert, Councillor McDermott, did you want to speak to this? Please proceed.
Okay, so number one, Your Worship, I don't believe that the Bridgeburg BIA was consulted either.
It wasn't.
So, you know, I think everybody's been treated about the same. I can't personally see any difference in the I don't really look at the decorative functions of lights. Is the light brighter? Is it more efficient? I would have to say yes. I have had 14 phone calls since the LED lights went on from residents and business people. I have not had one negative thought about it. I'm a little concerned about the way that this has played out, though, and that is, you know, once these bulbs are taken down, I'm wondering why the bulbs in the pictures are taken down and destroyed that quickly. I find that kind of weird because of the fact that, you know, some of these lights could be used, recycled in a community that might have lights similar to ours. Decorative portions of those lamps, if they're as beautiful as everybody says they are, and I can't tell you because I really pay very little attention to light fixtures, if they're as beautiful as you say, they should have some redeeming value to somebody to recycle. So I guess one of the questions I have is, can we call these people and confirm that this is exactly what happened, or if they might have it put off to a side to do other uses with it? Because it doesn't make sense to me if they're as decorative and beautiful as everybody says they are, It don't look like something that should be put in a garbage can. So, you know, I would maybe put a little pressure on the company that's taking them down and disposing of them to see if they actually have disposed of them or if they might be moving on to some other municipality where they could reuse them and that company make some profit from that. So I, you know, they might have said they've destroyed them, but maybe they're not. So I would, I do our due diligence before Thursday to confirm that with someone. But, you know, I understand the angst and beauties in the behold, in the eye of the beholder. And, you know, to me, it's all about lights. And I don't think any of us really thought on the night that we passed this that we would be looking at this issue for sure. But I would look into that, Your Worship, because, you know, sometimes they say, well, it's all in the dumpster, but maybe they're not.
I think that's a very good point, Counselor McDermott, and that had occurred to me after learning that there's probably a market for these used decorative fixtures. And Mr. Walsh, perhaps you could press them on that. They may have disposed of them, but they may not have thrown them out. They may have disposed of them in fashion, or they may still have them with a view to perhaps trying to sell them. I don't know. I don't know the nature of their operation, but I think that's helpful if you could look into that. And you also wanted to comment.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will follow up with the contractor once again. The information I had on the disposal was through our project manager, through the contractor. With respect to the Bridgeburg lights, the reason in that case that the BIA wasn't consulted was that we had an exact replica for a replacement. It was not a retrofit. It was a full LED replacement on that.
Everybody, Councillor Zanka, you want to get your oar in the water here? See, that goes to show you how wise you are. Yes, we're going to go back to Councillor Lubert's and bearing in mind that we do have some time limitations with respect to speakers and what have you. Please go ahead, Councillor Lubert's.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just a couple more questions. I understand that... I mean, people want to take responsibility for making a mistake and not including the BIA in the discussion. And Mr. Walsh has indicated that he spoke with Councillor Butler on the issue, and between the two of them, they decided that they didn't need to consult with the BIA. But that was in 2015. And then in 2016, we have the email here on January 19th, when the BIA did express concern and interest in what was going on. So maybe, and it was CC'd to Councillor Butler. So maybe we can get some clarification on why at that time the BIA wasn't being consulted with. And I mean, that would have gave us lots of time to resolve this before it even happened.
Councillor Lubert, I did raise that with with Mr. Walsh. The email for the employee isn't an accurate email. That's possibly why he didn't receive it. There's still the issue about follow-up telephone calls. So I don't know whether you have anything to add to that at this point, Mr. Walsh.
Mr. Mayor, we're looking into both the email issue and the telephone calls through our IT department. They have the ability to track in and out.
So that is being
yes.
Followed up,
yes.
Councillor Luberts. Did you have another?
Yes, thank you very much. Just another question. Let's talk about the fixture that was there. In the contract that we had with the company that installed the original lights, we must have gotten the specs on that light, the one that this contractor has destroyed.
When they were
Can we get that?
When they were first purchased?
Yes.
I'm sure that they're... They
were Make, there. Model, catalog number.
Well, I'm sure if it's available...
We should have that in
Yeah, that
in,
would be part of
files,
the contract.
Yes, sure. I'd like to see that because I think that I'd like to bring that to my supplier and see if we can get that, have that light replaced. And then going into Thursday, we're going to meet on Thursday, and I don't know what this what the agenda is for this meeting, but I would like that meeting to be that, and if I have to make a resolution or make a motion to have that meeting include that there will be discussion with the BIA as to a fixture that the BIA will agree with, because from what I understand, I just heard, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we're going to bring some fixtures and some photos and some pictures of some fixtures that will be available. And so now the BIA is in a position where it's like, well, we have to pick from these.
Well, I don't think that's fair, Councilor Lubitz. I think that there are going to be some suggested resolutions that doesn't preclude suggestions from the BIA representation. But until the meeting is held, we don't know what's going to transpire. But it's not the intention of the staff, nor would it be our intention, I presume, as a council, to compel someone to accept a light, a fixture that they don't want. So that's not, I wouldn't be concerned about that because I don't believe that that's Mr. Walsh's intention, and that certainly wouldn't be something that I would think it would be appropriate.
Well, I'm not saying that it would be his intention to do that, but I mean, given the circumstances that has happened, the BIA wasn't consulted at all. So I want to make sure that the BIA, whatever is there, the BIA is going to be agreeable, and the BIA is going to have the opportunity to try to find a fixture that they like instead of being presented with a bunch of fixtures that they have to pick from.
There's an inexhaustible potential for resolutions. None of them include the BIA being compelled to accept something that they don't want.
Yes, and I just like to have some verification that that's what's going to transpire on Thursday. I understand what you're saying, Mayor Redicott.
I just said that. I don't know what more verification you want. I plan to be at the meeting, and I plan to stand behind.
No, you said there's several ways that we can resolve this, and there's several resolutions that will come forward.
I said,
and I just want to make it clear that the BIA will have an opportunity to present a fixture that they would like to see and not that they were going to be presented with a bunch of photos of fixtures that they have to pick from.
The words that I used were inexhaustible number of resolutions. Inexhaustible means that there could be any number. So the meeting isn't being held with any predetermined conclusion. The BIA will be there. The BIA will be discussing this with staff and whoever else can be there, and hopefully there'll be a resolution. If a resolution doesn't occur on Thursday, there can be follow-up meetings, and there may very well need to be further meetings because it may be necessary for there to be additional information provided to the BIA that the staff may not have available immediately. So this isn't an effort. Look, an error was made. We get that. Now we have to move forward. And now we're going to try to do what we can to rectify the situation. We're not going to be compelling anybody to do anything. We've already made one mistake. We're not about to compound it.
So then you're verifying that in your inexhaustible resolutions that are available, one of them will be that the BIA can find and choose a fixture that they like. And if that's what happens, that's something that could, that they can do on their own. And if that's what they want,
It could, Councillor Lubitz, but also bear in mind that there's the concept of reasonability. So we're not going to be going with the most expensive light fixture that can be found in North America. I mean, I don't think that's what the BIA wants to do. I would hope not. We're going to look for a reasonable resolution. And there may be any number of possibilities, but the BIA will be a partner with respect to the resolution.
And that is one of them, that they can pick their own fixture if they don't like what's presented to them. Just so that I can go back to the BIA and let them know that.
Councilor Lubitz, you heard the qualification, I trust. The word reasonable. So as long as you've I got that over there to you. As long as you understand that, I mean, it's reasonable. We're looking for reasonable.
I understand what you're saying as long as you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I want the BIA to be able to choose, pick and choose what they want. Because
I hear exactly what you're saying, so we don't need to flog this horse any longer. It's painful
exactly.
enough as it is. Councillor Butler, did you want to say anything further? Or okay, Councillor Passero, this is a new item?
No.
But we're still at the lights?
Still on the lights.
Okay.
I just wanted to ground the situation a little bit. I represented a BIA for 4 years. It's not easy. It's a no-win situation. You have to remember a BIA is not one person, two people, or six people. Sometimes people speak out of turn. Sometimes people let their own personal opinion become the BIA's opinion. So as we move forward, I'm hoping that this will follow the proper procedure, that it won't be whoever shows up on Thursday is picking a light fixture out of the catalog. The BIA goes back to the board. They'll have opportunity for comment from all their membership, not just the people who are interested in the lights. It's not an uncommon situation where you are put in a position where staff are going to you as the representative of either a BIA or a town committee and asking on protocol or what direction you should follow. We make those decisions all the time. We make some of them as councillors. The mayor makes a lot of them. That's just the day-to-day we're elected to make those decisions. Sometimes they work out in your favor. Sometimes they blow up in your face. But it's a two-way street. Not only do we represent the BIA to the town, you represent the town to the BIA. We have situations in the past where a BIA undertook a lighting initiative on municipal property. It wasn't even brought to the town's attention. The council at the time knew it was happening. It didn't work out very well. Everybody makes mistakes. But it's time to move on. If you live in a glass house, don't pick up a rock and try to hit someone over the head with it, because it might come back to bite you in the end. Let's move on. Let's see what happens.
A bunch of mixed metaphors.
Yeah. Let's see what happens Thursday. But I agree with the mayor. It's not get out the catalog, open checkbook, and let's go to town. It's let's follow the process, see where it shakes out. At the end of the day, it will be seven people up here making the decision, not four or five people who are able to get off work and show up on a Thursday morning in committee room number 3. Thank you.
The rule with respect to how many times you can speak at a... Is it twice? Unlimited at a council meeting. Councillor Lubritz, new information.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate all the comments that were made, and I appreciate, you know, the fact that, yes, people make mistakes, but, you know, these lights were only 4 years old.
We've heard that.
And
I think they're actually 5 by the time they were removed.
Well, they were only 4 years old when the decision was made to remove them.
Okay.
I'll just save my comments for the next time it comes forward.
Okay.
Because I'm sure that this isn't going to. I'm sure this is leading to those lights that are there now staying where they are. I'm sure that that's where this is all going to end up. But
it hasn't been determined, Councillor Lubritz. Councillor Passero, I think you had some other new business.
Thank you, Mayor DeCopp. This was concerning the delegation tonight by Mr. Thompson. I'm wondering if we could get an opinion from Ms. Dolch based on the information that we heard from Mr. Thompson as well as the Q&A on two issues. Firstly, if you could reiterate what the town's position or relationship is regarding the matter and the ultimate resolution between Gorham Road Inc. and the NPCA. And secondly, regarding Mr. Thompson's request, what is your position and what is the planning department's opinion on ramifications if we remove that overlay?
Both.
Through you to the councillor. Okay, on your first question, I'm just going to give a bit of background. Back in 2008, the vegetation was removed. And the NPCA did establish a cease and desist order on Mr. Thompson. At that time, there was only the wetland identified, which were identified in around 2005, 2006. There was no environmental conservation overlay at that time, so there was no town-initiated environmental lands on that site when it was cleared. So the matter between Mr. Thompson and the NPCA was just that, between those two parties. There was no town involvement, and they did obviously go to court and have a resolution. So the town's been pretty much out of that since the clearing of that wetland complex. In terms of the planning department's position, obviously the planning department does forward matters to the Environmental Advisory Committee, and they've given their position. From a planning perspective, we do know that this EC, this environmental overlay, wasn't in place at the time the clearing took place. Now that it has been cleared, there really is no environmental features there at this point because it is a cleared site. And that's really our position at this point, that there's nothing there to warrant the EC overlay because of the clearing that occurred in 2008 before our bylaw was passed to allow that environmental conservation on top of it.
Maybe you could just clarify the last statement that you made. If I might, Councillor Passero, just to clarify that, there's an EC overlay, but how did it get there?
It came into play in 2013 through a housekeeping amendment, and that was when we brought into the zoning bylaw into conformity with our official plan. And that the official plan had that property designated as environmental conservation, and in 2013 we brought it into conformity to match the zoning to that. But as I said, at that point, that feature was already cleared back in 2008.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you for that. I would ask for direction from His Worship then, because we're under new business, and maybe the clerk could assist as well. I would like to go forward with putting a motion forward to remove the EC overlay. It's probably not appropriate under new business. Would that be a notice of motion item next, or would I ask to, or would I just bring that up under the Community and Planning Services meeting as a new business item, Your Worship?
I think it would be safer to do a notice of motion, and that notice of motion could then be circulated to the Environmental Advisory Committee, and maybe we can get some information from staff so that it's clear to us, just heard, but if we have questions arising out of that, and there may be some more information, there must be a reason why the Environmental Advisory Committee decided that they didn't want to remove the EC overlay, despite the fact that what we're being told this evening is that there is no feature that is actually being protected, which makes me wonder why we would have even bothered to zoning bylaw into conformity with the official plan if there's no feature to protect. So I would think if you want to raise it under notices of motion, we can deal with this in on April the 11th.
I'll do that next then under notice of motion. I have nothing further under new business.
Not.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to ask, since on the same subject, Councillor Annunziata, since you sit on the Conservation Authority, is this occurring in other municipalities where they're creating kind of a swap type situation? Could you just expand on what the Conservation Authority's position is on this?
Well, and specifically to Mr. Thompson's situation, it's a great question that you bring forward. Ultimately, the province, through its white paper, floated the idea of biodiversity offsetting. Now, biodiversity offsetting is an opportunity for, some people refer to it as land swapping, but as Mr. Thompson alluded to, basically you recreate a wetland in an already designated wetland area at a 3-to-1 ratio. Mr. Thompson's situation is so unique because it's something that the province floated out there, and Mr. Thompson was actually ahead of the curve, where he had a court order that allowed that opportunity. And that's actually on title. So he's actually going ahead with biodiversity offsetting on his particular site. This is an opportunity to get commentary from conservation authorities all throughout Ontario. There's 36 conservation authorities. All of them are asking to comment on the opportunity of biodiversity offsetting and just how would that impact the town of Fort Erie? Well, I think that's a very, very great question.
That's some good information as well, Ms. Dolch, that when the planning department puts together a memo with respect to the impending notice of motion, maybe we could get a little bit of comment on that as well. Councillor?
Just one last request then. Is that something that you could bring forward on behalf of the town or the Conservation Authority, or give us an update at least under your next regional councillor meeting?
I'm going to refer to Councillor Butler.
I'll yield the floor to Councillor Butler.
Yield the floor, and I think we'll get right to that point, absolutely.
Thank you, councillors. Yes, well, I was hoping that we can direct staff to extend an invitation to NPCA CAO Carmen D'Angelo and NPCA Chair Bruce Timmons and NPCA Vice Chair Sandy Annunziata to update and comment on the province's white paper regarding the updating of the province's Conservation Act and specifically to the issue of biodiversity offsetting. So that we can understand more what offsetting is and how the province chooses to incorporate it as a tool to conservation authorities and what Fort Erie can benefit from it.
I don't know that we're going to have to extend the invitation. Councillor Timms spoke to me this morning or this afternoon at the region and asked if, beg your pardon?
How timely.
Yeah, it was very timely. He asked me if Fort Erie would be interested in hearing about the biodiversity offsetting, and I said yes, because that's a big issue here because of our really significant wetlands. So I suppose just to be on the safe side, Ms. Dolch, maybe somebody from your department could make the contact with the NPCA and point out that Chair Timms of the NPCA had spoken to me about it, and Councillor Butler has raised the issue as well.
Wait for the invitation, and we'll be more than happy to present to council and fill you in on the updated process.
Okay, Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Councillor Butler, for the invitation.
Anything further?
Nothing further.
Any other new business? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I was wondering if we could get a revised report to the intertownship wayfinding signage and what those costs associated to that would be.
Say that again.
The wayfinding signage? Within the township.
An update within the town?
Right, an updated report. There was a report that was done a few years ago, and the CAO knows about this, but I'd like to kind of resurrect it so that we can get something moving with way signage within the town.
Mr. Cookett?
To Your Worship, to the councillor, absolutely we can do that. Years ago, there was a consultant hired to which prepared a report on wayfinding. We completed, I believe it was phase one and phase two. We haven't gone any further, but I definitely can prepare a report and submit it to you to let you know where we're at and what is outstanding to be done.
I think that that's appropriate, A, to bring us up to date as to what's gone on, and B, it's all part of the prosperity pillar of our strategic plan. So thank you for that. Anything further, Councillor Butler? Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just to follow up on Councillor Butler's request for this update, it was a couple of years ago as well, and I brought this up with one of our staff members, and I can't remember who that was, but the comment that came back was the wayfinding signage, there was something to do with what we were proposing for signage, the region didn't agree with, or it didn't meet the region's approval or their specifications or something. So when we're bringing this forward, this report comes forward, we need to know what it is that the region requests and what they desire, so that in our wayfinding policies we can have the same thing, because we definitely need to move this forward.
Are you aware of that, Mr. Cookett?
Through Your Worship, yes, I was, actually. That Councillor Huberts is absolutely correct. At the time, we were looking at putting wayfinding signage on regional roads, and they didn't have a policy in place, or the policy they had was obsolete, and they were looking at revising it. So we were waiting for that new policy to come out as far as sign location, size, color, and all the rest. It was full steam ahead, and then eventually it just dropped off. And I don't know, to be honest with you, the status of that. I'd have to contact the region, see if it was ever completed, and if so, how that marries in with our wayfinding signage that we do want to install. So good points by Councillor Luberts.
Anything further, Councillor Luberts? Anything further under new business? Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. Just further to that point, the Bridgeburg BIA had a plan ready to go. We had the signs picked out. We had met with staff. We had locations picked out. The difficulty is it's very difficult to get from the highway into Bridgeburg without traveling on one, if not two, if not three regional roads. And they said no to every single location we picked out. So we definitely need some guidance from them. And to add on to that point, we also need to remember that the NPC, Niagara Parks Commission, has some guidelines in place that are not very beneficial to us as far as wayfinding signage goes. And I believe that it doesn't just pertain to their property, but something in there also extends to so many meters onto municipal property that we can't even have our own signage. So if that could form a basis of the comments that come back to let us know where we stand, I'd appreciate it.
That's right. There is a corridor back from the Parks Commission lands within which they have the ability to control signage, not unlike the MTO, but not quite as large as the MTO. So, look, I'm sure you've heard all the comments. Any other new business? Councillor Lubberts.
Yeah, just to follow up on that there also, with what Councillor Passero was saying, I think was just a question to the CAO. Was there monies already set aside, budgeted for the wayfinding signage? I think there was, and I'm just curious, will that be included in the report?
Mr. Cook, it's through your worship to the councillor. I'll have to look into that. I can't recall if there is money or how much is set aside, but I'll look into that as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other new business? There are no motions. We'll go to notices of motion, Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. So I intend on April 11th then to bring a notice of motion forward that would more or less speak to council directing staff to remove the EC overlay on the subject properties owned by Gorham Road Incorporated. And I would be asking Ms. Dolch for her assistance in the last sentence because it would not be the entire property, but just that subject parcel that the MPCA has designated as the removal would be possible.
Thank you. Any other notices of motion? I'd like to give notice of a motion that council requests staff to prepare a report regarding the feasibility of creating a reduction or waiver of water sewer rates for commercial property owners whose property is vacant for a period in excess of 90 days, similar to the tax reduction program for vacant commercial properties, and making recommendations to council incidental to that. I'm going to bring that forward at the April the 11th meeting. It would be helpful if we just had a little bit of background information, Mr. Jansen, relative to the tax reduction program that we have for commercial properties that are vacant for a certain period of time. Are there any other notices of motion? Councilor Passero?
Just to clarify on the heels of our conversation regarding the rules of procedure last week, when we speak about bringing forward the notice of motion
That's
April
right.
11th, I just want to confirm that we're actually bringing it forward in the format that we can put it on the floor, debate it. And
so you're giving notice of motion this evening, and on the 11th of April, your motion will appear under the motions portion of our agenda, and it will be dealt with that evening.
I just want to confirm that.
Yep.
Okay.
That's exactly. Okay. That takes us then to consideration of bylaws, and we have bylaw number 43 that needs to be removed from the package. So, with that item, are there any other bylaws that anyone wishes removed from the package? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I'd like to have bylaw number 37-2016 removed. I would like to defer this. I don't know if we can defer it in the whole package or if it should be removed.
It needs to be removed.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Councillor Nutt, you have the resolution for first and second reading, so could you read that absent 37 and 43?
Certainly, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko, that bylaw package containing 33-2016 to amend the zoning bylaw number 12990 as amended, removing of holding provisions, Spears Road Estates, Ashton Homes Western Limited, and 34-2016 to enact amendment to the official plan for the Town of Fort Erie, Amendment Number 28, Douglastown Black Creek Secondary Plan, to amend 35-2016 to amend Zoning Bylaw Number 129-90 to implement Official Plan Amendment Number 28 being the Douglastown Black Creek Secondary Plan, and 36-2016 to adopt Council Rules of Procedure and to repeal Bylaw Number 42-2015, and 38-2016 to authorize the entry into a license extension agreement with the Bridgeburg Station Business Improvement Area Board of Management, Bridgeburg Rustic Farmers Market, and 39-2016 to authorize the entry into an agreement to extend the concession agreement with Lamb Style Limited for the operation of the Crystal Beach Food Concession Services. And 40-2016 to amend Zoning Bylaw Number 129-90 as amended, removing of holding provision Crystal Beach Tennis and Yacht Club, East Hill Development, Crystal Beach Park Limited, and Crystal Beach Tennis and Yacht Club. And 42-2016 to authorize the entry into and execution of a contribution agreement with Her Majesty the Queen in right of Canada under the Canada 150 Community Infrastructure Program in support of the renovation of Stevensville Memorial Park, project number 808462, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. The bylaw package as amended then is on the floor for questions or comments. Bar none, then I'll go to Councillor Zanko for the third and final reading for the bylaw package as amended, plus bylaw 67-2015, for which we're just giving third and final reading this evening.
Your Worship, I'd like to...
Actually, 43 is not in here because it's...
Is it possible to have 67-2015 removed and dealt with separately?
Sure.
Thank you.
So if you would remove then 67-2015 and 37-2016 from the resolution that you have, Councillor Zanko.
Did you say 33-2016 as well?
37.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaws 34-2016, 35-2016, 36-2016, 38-2016, 39-2016, 40-2016, 42-2016 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to those bylaws in the package? All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. So we'll go back to Councillor Nutt, first and second reading of bylaw 37, please.
Certainly, Your Worship. Just on a point of order.
I didn't remove that.
Oh,
33? Yeah.
2016. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that that got read in by Councillor Zanko. Okay. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that 37-2016 to adopt a street lighting policy for the Town of Fort Erie and repeal bylaw number 141-04 be given first and second reading.
All those in favor? No, you ask questions after we get this on the floor. Yep. You want to defer this now? Right? Put forward your motion and you can tell us why. Is there a seconder? We're going to move to defer. We don't call it defer, we call it postpone. Right.
Well, I have a note here from the clerk. Defer, postpone equals the same.
Yeah, but the new procedural bylaw, I think the word is postpone that's being utilized. Yeah. Okay. You need a seconder to postpone this. Is it a seconder to postpone?
I think I need to give a reason why.
You need to have a seconder to get it you need to have a seconder in order to speak to your motion to postpone.
I'll second.
Councillor McDermott.
Okay, thank you very much. The reason I want to postpone this bylaw is if we look at Appendix 4, it's page 12 of 15. We're having a meeting on Thursday to discuss this, and the street lighting that is present now in Ridgeway is on Appendix 4. It's the first one. That may change. So I would like to postpone this until after we have our meeting with the stakeholders in Ridgeway.
So, Mr. Walsh, is there any harm done if this is postponed until April the 11th?
Mr. Mayor, I don't think there's any harm, but I would like to offer my opinion that the policy be accepted, the policy be accepted, and if we need to make changes or whatever changes we make in Ridgeway, I will bring those back and amend the policy. The rest of the policy speaks to the way we operate with respect to streetlights, and I would like to have the rest of the policy, the proposed policy on the books as soon as possible. But as I said in the original question, you know, in the big picture, there is no harm.
I'm going to, I think that you have a good point.
Maybe we could amend the bylaw so that I just want to make sure that we can do this. I don't want to approve something that we may change later.
Well,
it's there, so maybe subject to.
Let's do this. If you're in agreement, let's vote on the. Let's do first and second reading. Save and accept figure 2, which is part of, I guess,
the Ridgeway area luminaire.
Ridgeway area luminaires. Pass everything else. Is that acceptable?
That's acceptable, yes.
Councillor McDermott, you're the seconder. Is that agreeable to you? So let's, then that's your amendment with respect to bylaw 37. Okay. That is a debatable motion. Is there anyone that wishes to speak to that? The intent being that we would approve the bylaw with the exception of the area, Ridgeway area luminaires outlined in Appendix 4. Okay. I'm going to call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? That is carried. So, we'll now vote on first and second reading of that. Yes. You may. This is. I'm going to say that Roberts is probably rolling around in his grave right now. But please proceed, Councillor Butler.
Okay. So my question isn't with respect to the amendment itself. I have
carried.
Yeah.
So this is on the bylaw.
Okay, great. I'd like to ask a question to Mr. Walsh, if that's okay. On page 7 of 15 of Schedule A, I noticed that it says Burley Road is noted under Schedule A to bylaw under collector. Does that mean that we're able to put a light on Burley just north of Dominion then?
Walsh, just see where we are.
Yeah. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I believe that is outside the urban boundary. And even though it is a collector road outside the urban boundary, we only put lights at intersections. The residents in the area can apply to the Traffic Coordinating Committee, as outlined in this policy, for a street light, and we'll take it under review and report back to you if that's the way the residents want to go.
Okay, thank you. And just further to that, would there be a cost involved if the committee decides that there would be a possibility to install those lights?
There,
and who would bear the cost?
If it's found that the light, through you, Mr. Mayor, if it's found that the light doesn't meet town policy, then the residents would be responsible for up to 100% of the cost. There's a formula for cost division in there. I can't give you the specifics right now.
And is there a format that can be used to lessen that burden on the constituents? Have to be 100% on the constituents, or can we bring something to the council to lessen that burden?
For you, Mr. Mayor, Traffic Coordinating Committee follows policy. We tell you what the cost should be according to policy. If council votes to waive the cost, that's at council's discretion.
Thank you.
Anything further than before we vote on first and second reading? All those in favor? That is carried. So this bylaw then, as amended, is moving to third and final reading, Councillor Zanko. So it's bylaw 37 as amended.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw 37-2016 as amended are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Understand what we're doing? All those in favor? Carried. And Councillor Passero, I understand that you have the resolution for bylaw 43. This is only getting first and second reading this evening.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw 43-2016 to provide for drainage works in the town of Fort Erie, known as the Nye Road Municipal Drain, is given first and second reading.
Favor? Opposed, that is carried. Councillor Passero, you have the next resolution. You asked for 67 to be removed, and so, Councillor Zanko, if you would do third and final reading then for bylaw 67.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw 67-2015 to provide for drainage works in the town of Fort Erie, known as Black Creek Drainage Works 2014, are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Your comments, Councillor Nutt.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. After looking at the report that came through for the drainage works in Nye Road, I can't support this report, and I'd like to see it removed for the basis that it contains portions of the report that I don't agree with. And after speaking with Mr. Walsh and Infrastructure, there's no planned new drainage works in there, so...
You're familiar with the fact that this is the Black Creek.
This is the Black Creek, right. Yeah. Not the Nye. Yep. I'm referencing a different report.
Correct.
That I declared a conflict of interest on, but I can still read the report for
information
purposes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right. So looking at that report, looking at the Black Creek report, noticing there are distinct differences, I'd like to send this back, this report, and have the new drainage works removed for it. It's just... punitively penalizes several property owners in that report, and I don't think it's a balanced report. Having sat on the committee of revisions, the court of revisions, it was also at that time brought forward, and the engineer had acknowledged that the report did contain certain errors. So I'd like to get it sent back and reworked. So I'm asking for council support in that.
So you're asking for it to be postponed or referred to staff for further information?
Yes, I'm asking for it to be referred to staff to have it relooked at, because in going through the whole court of revision process, everything, the engineer did acknowledge there were certain errors, but I'd also like to see it reworked. So it's more in line with the report that we just received on the Nye Road drainage works.
Mr. Walsh, any comments?
Yes, I do, Mr. Mayor. I believe the corrections that Councillor Nutts refers to were corrected and in the final report, and that's why it's brought forward now. We do have Dave Maiden in attendance tonight specifically in case there were more detailed questions than I could answer, and we're at that point. So through you, Mr. Mayor, if Mr. Maiden could come forward and respond, I would appreciate it.
Yes, Mr. Maiden. Can you perhaps supplement what Mr. Walsh has just told us?
Yes, Your Worship, councillors. Yes, the new engineer's report that was submitted February 23rd, 2016, all the amendments as per the tribunal's hearing were made. The properties in question, their percentages for the works to be done was reduced more than half. That was as per the tribunal hearing. Any other errors that were made were brought to the attention of the tribunal, and they were pleased that they were brought forward and taken care of prior to the final reading of the bylaw, the third reading of the bylaw.
Thank you, Mr. Maiden. It's just that the revised report isn't attached to the report that's come under the bylaw package. So is it possible just to postpone this to give council the opportunity to read that? Would there
is there any harm done if this is put over till April the 11th? For
no, none whatsoever.
Reading? All right.
As you know, there is no works immediately planned for this drain, so yeah, that's not an issue.
So then what I would suggest you do is perhaps circulate the email to the councillors, a copy of the updated report, which I'm sure is going to be attached to the original bylaw.
Yes.
Okay. So, Councillor, thank you very much, Mr. Maiden. Councillor Nutt, you want to move that this be postponed to April the 11th?
Correct.
And you have a seconder? Councillor Zanko. Are there any questions with respect to the timing? There aren't any. All those in favor of the motion to postpone to April the 11th? None opposed. That is carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we'll go to Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw number 41-2016 to appoint members of council as chair and vice chair for each business subdivision of council and to repeal bylaw number 66-2015 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Wait a second. Before we do that, I think it would be appropriate, Madam Clerk, just to reiterate the names that will go into paragraph 1A, B, and C, since they were left blank. You know what, Councillor Passero, why don't you do that? You've got the material there.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. Corporate and Community Services, Chair, Councillor Passero, Vice Chair, Councillor Nutts. Planning and Development Services, Chair, Councillor McDermott, Vice Chair, Councillor Butler. And Infrastructure Services, Chair, Councillor Zanko, and Vice Chair, Councillor Lubbers.
Okay. All those in favor, this is first and second reading. I oppose, that's carried. And then, Councillor Lubbers, you have third and final reading for that bylaw, number 41.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 41-2016 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. That takes us then to the confirming bylaw, and that's Councillor McDermott, first and second reading.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that bylaw number 44-2016 to confirm the actions of council at its meeting held on March 29, 2016 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Butler, third and final reading.
Comments?
Sure.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just for some clarification, and I don't want us to get into a problem that we had a few months ago. Councillor Nutt's motion to postpone the drainage works. A few months ago, Councillor Butler declared a conflict, but Mayor Redekop, you, the clerk, indicated in the minutes that you indicated that Councillor Butler had the motion or the conflict, but in the minutes, the clerk didn't see that. She didn't hear Councillor Butler say it, so the minutes, we had to get the minutes changed. And just now, you said, asked Councillor Nutt if he wanted to make motion to postpone the drainage works. And I don't want us to get involved in the minutes again, that they're not right. So I would ask the clerk, should Councillor Nutt have made that motion verbally himself?
Well, you don't have to ask the clerk that. Councillor Nutt said he did, and it was seconded by Councillor Zanko. That's, I'm sure, what the minutes refer
to. Councillor Nutt agreed with you that he wanted to postpone. When he first spoke about it, he wanted us to not to approve it. And then it turned out to postpone it until April 11th, which at time you asked him if he wanted to postpone it, and he said yes, that's what he wants to do. And I'm asking the clerk if Councillor Nutt has to make the motion himself and not be asked if he wants to make a motion, and I would like the clerk to respond.
Okay, I'll let the clerk respond to that, Councillor Lubritz, but I think you're nitpicking. I asked Councillor Nutt if he wanted to move to postpone. He said yes. So that's an affirmative response on the record. But Councillor, or Madam Clerk, if you picked up what Councillor Lubritz requested, please feel free to respond.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Councillor Lubritz, my notes reflect moved by Councillor Nutt, seconded by Councillor Zanko to postpone the bylaw until April 11th.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. That's exactly what I was asking for. Thank you very much for your rectification.
Councillor McDermott, you have third and final reading. Sorry, Councillor Lubritz, you have, no, Councillor Butler, you have third and final reading for the confirmatory.
Thank you,
bylaw.
Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaw number 44-2016 is given third and final reading to be signed by the Mayor and Clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. We have a Strategic Business Committee meeting tomorrow held in Conference Room 2 here at the Town Hall, and this falls under our Strategic Plan for Strong Customer Service Relationships and Communications, and that starts at 5:30.
And I know that you have an added topic to deal with. any other meetings? There is an EDTC meeting tomorrow at 5:30. Any other meetings? That's at the EDTC offices. Councillor Butler.
There is a community and planning meeting tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock in Conference Room 3.
You're not on that committee anymore, are you? You're now the vice chair. He's the chair. At 4:30?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. It's at 4 o'clock.
I forwarded you the invite. Councillor McDermott.
Yes. So, Madam Clerk, perhaps you can make sure that the directors who are associated with the various subcommittees get in touch with the new chairs and vice chairs to give them the general schedule for when they meet. Any other?
I forwarded the for Councillor McDermott. Invite to him just now.
In case the information was accurate. I knew nothing good would come of this change. Okay, Councillor Nutt, motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Councillor adjourns at 8:20 p.m. to reconvene a regular council meeting on April 11th, 2016.
All those in favor? That is unanimous. Thank you, folks.